Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Political Impact. I'm your co-host, Kelsey Hickman, and I'm joined here today with my other co-host,
Rushi Gandhi. How's everyone doing?
Beautiful. So we have an awesome interview today with Evan Cameron. Evan Cameron was just elected to WLU Senate. Evan, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me, Kelsey.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on. So let's start off by introducing yourself. Who is Evan Cameron and what are you studying at Laurier?
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much for having me. So I'm Evan Cameron. I'm a third year political science and North American studies student here at Laurier. I have a whole lot of stuff as well. So I'm doing political science, North American studies, specializing in public policy, minoring in communication studies. So it's a mouthful. So I do that a lot. I'm the co-president of the Association of Political Science Students on campus. And like you mentioned, I was just recently I guess it's been a while now. It was January. So I was recently-ish elected to the University Senate.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Yes, thank you so much.
I have to ask you, though, just a little side note. How has everything been? You seem to be taking so much in terms of the community and in school. How's that entire thing been?
It's good. You know, it's a bit busy. I find myself, and I also work part time. So I find myself, I'm bad at memorizing these sayings, but I have my hand in many baskets or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I'm pretty busy. But no, you know what? It's really enjoyable. My one thing when I came into university is I didn't want to regret not getting involved. So I got involved as soon as possible. So yeah, I don't regret it, but it is, it can be hard at times to focus on academics when you have so many extracurriculars and stuff like that.
Definitely. So moving on to your next question, what is the WLU Senate? Like, how did you get involved originally?
Well, so like I mentioned to you before we started recording, I haven't actually physically got involved yet because the Senate term starts in May. But essentially, the Senate focuses on academic matters. So while the Students' Union Board of Directors focuses on student union programming, the Senate focuses on academic matters. So maybe people wouldn't be as interested because it maybe doesn't impact their extracurricular life as much. But any curriculum changes, any new courses, any different approvals like that all have to go through the University Senate. And recently it's been quite impactful because a lot of the COVID-19 stuff, so the credit option, the return to campus, a lot of that has been going through the Senate as well. So I just thought, I've never got involved with the Students' Union really, but I wanted to get involved in the election process. Mm-hmm. And I have some experience with the academic side of things through the Faculty of Arts and the Department of Political Science. So I thought the Senate would be the best opportunity.
Awesome. Wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's really cool. And it's cool to make that distinction between the Senate and Student Union. I think that's really important. Academics and all the extracurriculars, they don't necessarily always align. So it's important to have two separate groups. So what would you say are some of the Senate's main goals more recently or moving forward?
Well, like I say, a lot of it's been focused on COVID-19, from my understanding. And again, since I haven't got in there, I haven't even met with the other student senators yet. So I'm not 100% sure what we'll be doing moving forward. I mean, it's quite interesting because I was elected to a 2-year term, but I'll be going into my 4th year. But from my understanding, I'll be able to continue even once I graduated, as long as you're elected while you're a student. So, I mean, 2 years is a long time. I'm sure it's hard to imagine what's going to happen by the end of the term. I know Laurier has a lot of very interesting things academically. I mean, we have a new campus coming in Milton. I think that's coming on board maybe in the fall or maybe it's the following year. So I think there's going to be lots happening with that. And hopefully, fingers crossed that there'll be less COVID stuff. Hopefully we're just kind of on the way out of that.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. So let me ask, what specific role were you campaigning for?
So I was running to be the senator. I think there's 8 student senators and one is from the Brantford campus and the other 7 are from the Waterloo campus. I'm 90% sure that's accurate. So it was interesting because they reopened nominations again after they had first opened them. So what ended up happening is a group of folks who applied, submitted their nomination package in the first round were automatically, were acclaimed to the Senate. And then I think it was 5 of us had to run for one seat. So that was a bit interesting. And two of the other candidates were incumbent senators running for re-election. So I was a bit nervous when I heard that news, but it worked out okay. So I'm quite happy with that.
And may I ask, are the senators designated for each program, each faculty, anything like that?
No, so just anyone who's interested. I believe that's how they do it with the faculty senators, like the Laurier staff. I believe a certain each faculty gets a certain number of senators or something like that. But in terms of the student senators, it's just whoever fills in their nomination and whoever can get elected.
So how was the campaign? What strategy did your team take, during the pandemic to reach out to students and get them to vote for you?
Yeah, it was very interesting because I don't actually think I stepped foot on campus at all during the campaign period because it was in January. And I had an in-person class in the previous semester. And of course, we went back in person now. But at that point, there was nothing open at all on campus. So it was quite interesting. It was mainly Instagram. I'm sure you all saw all the various candidates promoting their campaigns on Instagram.
Right.
I like to think that being a political science student, maybe I have a bit of a decent understanding how a campaign would work. I've worked with a few politicians as well. So my kind of aim was just to have something memorable, recognizable. So like all my posters, I don't know if you saw them, but they all had like this kind of burgundy red color that was kind of unique. None of the other campaigns had that color. Always the same font, just it tried to keep everything repetitive. I did a giveaway. I think everyone was doing giveaways to get story posts and stuff like that. And then really it was just finding as many Golden Hawks as I could on Instagram and connecting with them. And yeah, it seemed to work well. I think it would have been a unique challenge if it was in person. I guess it's a unique challenge to do it online, but in my perspective, because I've only done it online, it would be a challenge to do it in person.
Right.
But it was a really good experience. I had to charge my phone 10 times a day. I think I was doing like 12, 14 hours on my phone every day.
Wow.
So that wasn't great. The other thing is, because I was a bit delayed in entering the field, I think I had 3 days to campaign or 2 days. So it was a busy few days, but it was quite a brief period of time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like a very hectic but rewarding process.
Yeah, and the other thing too, when the voting period opened up, we had to stop all distribution of materials that was campaign materials. Mm-hmm. There was some people resharing my stuff once voting period had opened, so it was just kind of stressed, ensuring that I wasn't violating any of the rules. So that was the other challenge. And then, people would ask you about it in a class or something, but obviously you can't answer them in the class and use that as a platform. So it was it was an interesting challenge. I'd never run in any sort of election like that before. So it was interesting, but very enjoyable and paid off.
Wow. Definitely. And I was just wondering if you don't mind my asking, like, in your opinion, like, what was the most challenging moment for you during your campaign? You had COVID, it was online, but apart from that, like, what do you think the biggest thing was?
I think just engagement. It was so tough. It's so tough to get people engaged. Even engagement with some of the candidates, like the CRO gave us an opportunity to make a TikTok. That was going to go out to all the students. And I was the only Senate candidate who made one. So I think engagement just all around was lacking from the other candidates for various positions, but also just trying to engage with the student body. It's so hard. I'm sure you guys know promoting the podcast. It's hard to get people interested in things that are solely virtual. And especially since it's not Students' Union. People don't really know what the Senate is. So I just tried to emphasize that it's very important. And I think you should vote for me. And like I say, it worked out. So
I do think I would even go further to say that it's hard to engage people in anything political nowadays. We're seeing such an increase in disenchantment and disengagement in so many facets of politics, whether it's watching the news, turning it off because it's too mundane or it's too hard to watch recently, or even voting and voting rates of different age groups. So That's one of the reasons that the podcast was started, to engage in more political activity and try and decrease political apathy, especially among students.
For sure. And, you know, I think people are sometimes afraid to speak about politics or to get into politics because it's so polarizing.
It's, I mean,
you feel like if you say one thing, you step out of line, you're going to have a whole bunch of people on either side of the spectrum who are angry at you. Even I'm so involved in politics, but even I sometimes get a bit nervous to say how I feel because it could be taken the wrong way. And that, I think that's, I always say to my girlfriend, like, how are we going to move beyond this? How is society, politics, how is it going to get past this crazy moment where it's such a huge question?
Definitely.
And it's
I personally think, though, for that question, we just need to trust that our voice has an opinion, and you need to move forward knowing that, like, yeah, there's always going to be people on both sides of the spectrum. No matter what you choose, we're going to be angry or disappointed with you. So I think the main focus should just be solely on the change you're trying to bring, more than trying to, because I know they're the ones who elect us, so we need to make sure that we fit in with them, but we also need to make sure that we mostly stick to what we believe in. You know, you don't want to change yourself or politics.
I think that people are strong in what they believe in. I think that people aren't listening to each other, though. There's no more. There's no more listening to the other side and hearing their point of view. I think that the internet has also driven us to stay in our own bubble and have like-minded people surround us at all times. It's not necessarily what politics is supposed to do. But we'll move forward, right? We'll figure it out. We have to.
Yes.
Evan and as poli-sci majors, that's like all we do is trying to figure out that solution. But what specifically, Evan, does being politically active mean to you personally?
Well, the thing is, I think it can be such a wide range of things, you know? For some people, politics is just participating in political discourse on Twitter. For some people, it's volunteering with politicians. For me, it's been kind of interesting because I've always been weary of becoming too partisan. So, I mean, I don't associate with any political party, really. But I've worked with, I've worked with NDP and members of provincial parliament. I think, you know, Dr. John Malloy, who was a Liberal member of provincial parliament, and I work with him quite closely. So, I mean, I work with a lot of different political folks from all parties. But I would say for me, politics has kind of been university, you know, the Association of Political Science Students, just more broadly, not just the kind of polarized political discourse, but helping people get engaged in politics, helping people learn about potential careers in politics, promoting women in politics. We've had quite a few events about that. And I know there's another club at Laurier that focuses on that as well. So yeah, for me, politics just kind of took over when I got to university. I just kind of chose political science because I had a bit of an interest in politics, and it's just kind of exploded uncontrollably since I arrived here.
And it's honestly amazing. It's good. You're finding out who you are, and that's what uni is, right? To really see the true things that we're supposed to do, or at least the things we enjoy doing, and build on them. So let me ask you, if you don't know, Ashley, why, like, in your opinion, like, why do you think it's important that students are a part of, like, conversations with, like, local or national government?
I think, obviously, we're going to, it's so cliche, but we're going to be leading the world in, like, in a short period of time, 20, 30 years. Our generation will be in power. And if we don't get involved now, there may not be much left for us to be in charge of. I mean, there's so significant topics. I mean, climate change, obviously, is the first one that comes to mind.
Right.
But young people have such unique views. I feel like if you compare the views of our generation to the views of generation 20, 30 years before, but I mean, it's, the difference is remarkable. So we have to get involved. Because our views are unique and we're going to be in power one day. So we may as well make it a bit easier on ourselves when we get there.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you on that. And that's, I mean, we align on that. That's why the podcast was started. But what would you say to encourage students who don't believe that we as students have enough power in helping improve the conditions or environment at Wilfrid Laurier? And how would you encourage them to get involved in student government?
See, I don't disagree with that statement. I think students should definitely have more input. But it's a very problematic way to think if you just think, okay, we don't have enough power, so that's it, I give up, and we just have to put up with it because we don't like it. I mean, that's no way to think at all. You've got to use every avenue you possibly can to get involved. So whether it's running in students' union elections or for the Senate or for the Board of Governors or for students' union president, whether it's engaging through all the various different means, I mean, there's lots of opportunities, there's lots of open discussions and round tables that the university administration has. You can speak to your professors, you can speak to your department chairs. I mean, the one thing I've noticed, Aloria, is I haven't met a single person who's not willing to discuss or talk about an issue. Everyone is so open. I mean, Kelsey, I'm sure you know in political science, mm-hmm. our department is just amazing. We have mm-hmm. so many amazing faculty members. Our chair is amazing, Sherry Palmer, who's our, I can't mind her official title, but she's the assistant who works in the department, and she is just the most amazing lady. There's so many great people who work at the institution. So if there's an issue you have, there's no excuse to not talk about it. And that mindset of we don't have enough input, so we'll just give up, it's no way to work at all.
Right. And there's always going to be something, there's going to be one topic, one issue that someone cares about, right? And it can be very unique to you, but I promise you there's enough people that care about it too and want it to change. So you just have to keep talking and keep that conversation going to find those people. I think that's really exactly. important. Yeah.
And definitely,
if it's an academic. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, please continue.
I was just going to say, if it's an academic issue, you have your student senators. So exactly. come May, anyone. Yes, anyone can yeah. talk to me if it's a curriculum or academic issue. And,
right.
You know, that's what the Senate does. So, and that's what student senators are supposed to do. We're supposed to hear from students and take the voice of students and represent it in this big, scary Senate that has all the faculty and the president of the university and everything.
Are there any
I worry that maybe that doesn't happen enough. People don't really know what the student senators do and don't take advantage of that. So that's if I could have one goal for my term, it's that I'm able to engage in that way.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly.
I loved all of these things. So if you don't mind my asking, you're honestly a great inspiration, but what inspired you to, who inspired you like to get to this position?
That's a very, very deep question. a lot of people. First of all, I had a few great teachers in high school who helped me learn about politics, you know, learn about mm-hmm. issues that I was interested in. And then just coming to Laurier, I mean, the professors, and I really can't emphasize that enough. It sounds like I'm trying to get extra points or something, but really, we just have such amazing professors in political science. Off the top of my head, inspirational professors, Dr. Goff, Dr. Van Einerten, Dr. Spooner, Bina Mehta, Professor Mehta. Mm-hmm. That's in North American Studies, those two.
Yeah.
There's a million more. I shouldn't list people because I'm definitely going to forget people. But the professors in political science, and of course, like I mentioned, Dr. Malloy. I've worked with him quite a bit as APSS co-president, and just learning from him has been quite inspirational. So, I would say I think that'd probably be it. Just the teachers and professors and.
Yeah. Definitely.
He's That's absolutely amazing. Wonderful.
Yes. And, you know, he's a wealth of knowledge. I feel like the university doesn't take advantage of his knowledge and experience enough.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. I had the pleasure of interviewing him for a mm-hmm. podcast a couple months ago and taking his class. He was a real pleasure. It was an amazing opportunity. Mm-hmm. So can you, maybe if we don't think about inspirational figures, maybe if you have sources like blogs, podcasts, books that would guide students to get educated on the issue of political engagement?
You know, I was thinking about this quite a bit, and I think the first step really, And it sounds absurd, really, but just get a Twitter account and follow different political news sources. Watch your podcast, obviously. There's your plug for the day. But no, I always talk to my friends because they always say I spend too much time on Twitter. But it really is a unique thing because while information isn't necessarily vetted, it may not always be 100% accurate. If you read the information critically, it's a great tool because you get news instantly.
Yeah.
Like it is the most instant form of news. So, I think Twitter is a great opportunity just to get that instant news. This may be controversial. Like I quite like listening and reading the CBC. Mm-hmm. I have a Toronto Star subscription. I occasionally read the Globe and Mail. So I'm quite a fan of the traditional news sources, which again can be controversial these days, but what the hell. I would say Twitter and just the traditional news sources are a great place to start. And then once you understand your views, if you want to pick something that maybe aligns more with your views, you can do so. But I think the most valuable thing is reading all sides of a story. I mean, I'll be the first to admit that sometimes I'll read a CBC or a Star article and know immediately that it's maybe not telling the whole story or it's really painting a particular circumstance in a particular light. So I would say I'm not a big, huge podcast guy other than your podcast, of course. So I would just say the most valuable thing is to read lots and not take everything at face value. Definitely think critically.
Yeah. For sure.
The world belongs to those who read. I'll say that until the cows come home. I truly believe it.
Exactly. I definitely agree. And if you don't mind my asking, me personally being first year, I didn't even know like the Student Senate existed. So like how and when can students find and contact you and when, like where can they get additional information regarding the Senate?
For sure. So I think from my understanding, once I become the senator, no longer the senator-elect, once I become the senator, I'll probably have like a formal email, like a Senate email to be contacted at. But you can reach me through email. My student email is CAME0910@mylaurier.ca. You can reach me on Instagram, Evan Cammy Music. So this is all for before I become the Senate, just if you want to say hello. And then I'm sure there'll be official channels once I'm actually in the Senate. And I think there's some great information on Laurier's website about how the university is governed. And of course, that's through the Board of Governors and the Senate. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of if you want to read the boring textbook of what Laurier's Senate is, you can do that. But the good soundbite is that essentially just deals with all the academic issues for the university.
Definitely.
Awesome. And Evan, is there one specific academic issue that you're striving to change or to find a solution for?
There's a few. There's a few. I'm really interested in public policy, just broadly. Really interested in Indigenous issues. And then also this summer, I had the opportunity to work for a company called the Nuclear Waste Management Organization. And they deal with all of Canada's nuclear waste. And wow. That is an issue that I'm very, very interested in because it's not really discussed at all. I mean, people kind of think of The Simpsons, you know, with the yellow barrel and the green sludge and stuff. But that couldn't be further from what we actually have to deal with from my nuclear waste. So I haven't really spent a lot of time in my courses looking at that, but just from my employment in the summer. It's an issue that I'm quite passionate about because there's a lot of misinformation out there and it's something very important. Obviously we can't just let this radioactive waste sit and just hang out with us in city centers for the next 300-500 years and beyond. Yeah. So yeah, that's the one issue I'm quite interested in and will hopefully potentially move forward.
What are the potential resolutions to that? Like what are their...
That's a deep question, Kelsey. I'll give you the quick little
synopsis, if you will. Yeah.
Yes. I don't want to bore your viewers and listeners. But essentially, you can either take the rolling stewardship route, which is the waste is contained above ground and it's just monitored for hundreds of years. I mean, for low and intermediate level waste, you're looking at 300 years before it's safe, approximately. I'm not an engineer or a scientist, but around 300, 400 years. And the high level waste is much, much longer. So rolling stewardship is one option where you just kind of watch it and monitor. And the other option is a deep geological repository, which basically puts the waste deep, 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 deep below the, well, not below the earth, deep in the earth, and in like an engineered containment vault kind of system. So the company I worked for is in the process of siting to build the DGR for used nuclear fuel, which powers the nuclear reactors, which give us energy. So it's a very complex issue, and yeah, most people don't find it very interesting at all, but I've just kind of got hooked on it.
No, that's fascinating. And I think that, I mean, it's an issue that demands attention, right? Mm-hmm, for sure. Like we were saying before, just to circle back, there's going to be one issue that you care about that you'll find people, that like-minded people that exactly care about it too and want to find a solution to. That's all. That's what politics is. That's it's all about, mm-hmm, in my opinion anyway. But Evan, please plug yourself. Where and how can students find you and contact you? Will you be on campus? Will you have an office?
I'll plug a million things. So yes, me personally, you can find me normally in the concourse on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if you just want to say hello, you can do that. I'm on Instagram, like I said, Evan KM in music, as that at insinuates. I'm a musician. You can find my music stuff on Evan KM in music as well. I'll also take the opportunity to plug the Association of Political Science Students. You can find us on all social media at WLUAPSS. I think from my understanding, this episode is coming out this week, so I will just quickly plug. We have our model parliament on Friday, which is, I'm 90% sure, the 11th of March. Yeah. That's a great opportunity. You can find the information on our social media and in our at the link in our bio. And yeah, once I'm the sender, I don't think I'll have an office. I don't think the students get that sort of level of fanciness, but no, you'll definitely be able to contact me too. An official channel, I think, and just on Instagram or on Twitter. So yeah, I'm around. I think if you just ask someone who's a political science major, they'll probably have heard of me or know someone who has. So you should be able to contact me if you'd like to.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And are there any upcoming debates or any forums that like you want the listeners to know about or be involved?
The model parliament, like I mentioned. Yeah, that's next Friday. I'm at 1:30 p.m. virtually. Mm-hmm. And it's a great event. It just gives students an opportunity to participate in a pretty informal setting in the daily workings of Canada's parliament and Ontario's legislature as well.
Yeah, for awesome. Sure. That looks like a really fun event. So is that with Dr. Malloy as well?
Yes. So Dr. Malloy serves as the Speaker of the House in this instance. But yeah, we do it every year, and we co-sponsor with the Department of Political Science as well. And it's just always so much fun. We used to do it in person, which was great. But it's still been really good online as well. And Dr. Malloy, like, you know, is just such a great resource. And he's very funny when he serves as a speaker as well. He's underappreciated for his comedic value.
So can students go and just watch and just view?
I'm sure. Yeah. Why not? We encourage participation for sure. But yeah, if you just want to come watch, maybe just note that in your Zoom name or something. We of course encourage you to participate. I mean, it's very informal. But yeah, it's so much fun, and you can serve in any party that's recognized in Parliament. And yeah, we debate two bills. We do question period. It's a really fun time.
Yeah, that's a great way to really find like a visual representation and kind of have a deeper understanding of Canadian politics for sure.
And I was
networking.
Yeah, networking.
Oh, exactly. That's what I was saying to Dr. Malloy the other day. I don't know how anyone would pass up on the opportunity to learn about Parliament and participate in Parliament. Exactly. With somebody who served in the Prime Minister's office for 10 years, or somebody who was a government house leader, a minister, an MPP. I mean, you don't get an opportunity like that at all. I know I have friends who are in political science at other institutions. They don't get any opportunities like that. So we're very, very lucky at Laurier to have such an opportunity.
Definitely.
And just final question, Evan, or final message. What do you want to say to the Golden Hawks? What is your final takeaway of being a Senate elect? What do you promise them?
But see, my one thing, I don't make any absurd promises because I hate when a campaign promise isn't fulfilled. But my one commitment was always to be the voice of students. And we have such a diverse range of students with a diverse range of opinions. And they all deserve to be heard by the leadership of the university. And that's certainly what I hope to do when I get into the Senate. And my more broad message to Golden Hawks would be to enjoy being back on campus.
Yes.
To stay safe, to really be nice to your professors. I know they're all so excited to be back in person. Go support Wilfs. It's wonderful. They're open for lunch. Don't step on the hawk. and I think that probably does it. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. That's
perfect.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Oh, this has been a really great conversation. Thank you so much, Evan. We look forward to seeing what you do.
Yes, I look forward to getting in there and getting to work.
Yeah,
definitely. So,
thank you guys so much for listening. Once again, my name is Kelsey Hickman.
I'm Rishi Gandhi.
And your voice matters.